Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Halloween to all. Stuart Kovacs today dressed up as Ted Lasso. I am dressed up as Scooby-Dooby-Doo. You know, I look back at the World Series last night. Ryan Kotesberg, by the way, is going to join us, host of DNVR Buffs podcast. Coming up 20 minutes from now, we'll talk a little Coach Prime, Travis Hunter, Shador Sanders, and how he's feeling about the Buffaloes at Colorado and their chances of potentially making the college football playoff by potentially winning the Big 12. But the big story in the sports world from last night was obviously the Dodgers winning the World Series. And you look how that game ended. It's fitting that Verdugo was the last batter up and he was the last out, right? And you may be saying, Zach, why are you bringing up Verdugo? Because it ties in to the Boston Red Sox. Like, that was the big player the Boston Red Sox got back for Mookie freaking Betts. And it's crazy to me. Where obviously, we all knew how great Mookie Betts was, and still is. He won a World Series in Boston. This is not a small market where the owners are going to call poverty and cry poverty. But the Boston Red Sox ownership group is so cheap. Have they allowed an all-time great player like Mookie Betts get away? This dude's a five-tool player. There is not a flaw in Mookie Betts' game. And the Red Sox had him there. The Red Sox could have had two pillars for their franchise for the next decade with Devers and with Mookie Betts. And also, they had Xander Bogaerts, too, who was pretty damn good for them. And you look at Boston, the Red Sox. For 20 years, they basically dominated Major League Baseball. You know, you had four World Series since they won that championship in 2004. So there was many different iterations of the Boston Red Sox having the ultimate success. After all those years, the 86 years of waiting and 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 not getting a World Series. And once you have a domino fall, then boom. Then other dominoes fall. Like you look at the San Francisco Giants too. They won those three World Series like every other year. After all those Mad Dog Russo rants that I listened to growing up as a kid. One time, one lousy GD time, okay? You know, just once. But when you have a team that hasn't won for so many years, and then they win, it feels like you don't just get one, others do follow. And look at the Giants now. They're in a miserable spot. And look at the Red Sox right now. They're in a miserable spot. And it's weird to me when you have a team in a big market and they don't operate like a big market team. You know, and it's not like there's another team in Boston for Major League Baseball and like the Red Sox are younger brother. You know, they're not like the little brother. They're the Boston freaking Red Sox. But that fan base is so fed up with the ownership group because they had something so special and there was so much pain and suffering and so many battle wounds from those fans that when you're on top of the mountain and it's not like you got pushed off by somebody else, you jumped off the mountain. Like, you had everything going right for you. You had one of the best players. Like, you look at the faces of Major League Baseball. You know, obviously Otani, obviously Judge, Mookie Betts is in that conversation. I know it's premature, but Paul Skeens can be in that conversation. Like, there's not many other names that really follow after that. Like, there's a few more out there. But you look at the Dodgers, they have Ohtani. They have, obviously, Mookie Betts. They have Freddie Freeman. It's like they have an all-star lineup. And you know some of their pitchers that were hurt, too. But for the Red Sox to have Mookie Betts in their building and also win a World Series with him, it's not like it's a player that was there for 7-8 years. They didn't win a World Series, and you're wondering, oh, he has great regular season numbers, but no postseason moments. Is the juice worth the squeeze? Like, no. Everyone knew at the time when the Boston Red Sox traded Mookie Betts how much of a colossal failure that move was. And Mookie Betts wins a second championship, and now he has won a third championship. He has two in L.A., one in Boston. And the Boston Red Sox, since getting rid of him, have, what, made the playoffs one time? You know, they've been a non-factor, the Boston Red Sox. And quite frankly, the Boston Red Sox right now are embarrassing. And the Red Sox, you could argue, and I haven't gone through all of them, but you know what the worst trade is of all time. It's trading Babe Ruth to get money for a freaking Broadway show, right? No net. Like, that's Babe Ruth. We all know the legend of Babe Ruth. And up until Ohtani, people like Babe Ruth's the greatest baseball player of all time. And then you have Mookie Betts, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, who is going to play for many more years, in all likelihood win another championship. It's like, do you know how rare the Boston Red Sox, they had David Ortiz, right? David Ortiz was the face of three of those championships. Then Mookie Betts could have been the face, already with the World Series, of the next era of Red Sox baseball. And if they would have kept Mookie Betts, you got to think they would have had enough where Mookie could have won at least another championship there. But because the Red Sox are cheap, and because that ownership group had success, and they're like, okay, we're good, we're satisfied, they didn't want to pay Mookie Betts. And you know what, Stu? You see this in more in baseball than any other sport. You have these billionaire owners, and you even learned this during the pandemic, where they cry poverty. Like, there are actual people in America that have to live paycheck to paycheck. There are people that obviously are in a spot financially where I have great sympathy for them. You know, a tremendous amount of sympathy. But here are the Boston Red Sox, as their owners own God knows how many teams. They were trying to get the Celtics, and like, Boston fans were like, no, please. Don't let them take over the Celtics. They'll run it into the ground. And they had a machine that was well-oiled. It was humming. They were the industry standard, and they're like, you know what? We're just going to downsize. We're going to move to a much smaller production plant. We are going to cut all the resources, and we're still going to expect the same results. That's what the Red Sox did. And for their owners to be like, oh, we can't afford Mookie. And you have other Major League Baseball owners during the pandemic. We're losing so much money. Like, you're not at a point ever in life where you're uncomfortable. You can't live the life that you want. And for the Red Sox ownership group to trade away Mookie Betts, whew, it's one of the all-time worst decisions I've ever seen in Major League Baseball, Stu. And really, you're a Yankee fan, and you need something to uplift your spirits today because you're down in the dumps. You're miserable. Your team choked in a big spot. They gagged away, forcing a game six. But the only, I guess, solace you could have in losing last night is that Mookie Betts is one of the all-time great players, is going to go on to have an all-time great career, already has three World Series championships, is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and now he's just having success with the Dodgers, but he should be having that success in your division, in the AL East, with the Boston Red Sox.
Does make me feel a little better. However, these lovely owners are the same owners that own my soccer team.
Oh.
And it's the same. It's pretty much the same garbage as it is with the Red Sox. All they care about is the bottom line, crying poor always.
Oh, so that's how they operate the soccer team too?
They do, yes.
Hmm. Shocker. And they want to get the Celtics? I know that, that's not going to
happen.
That makes
no sense because they're so cheap. Yeah. I don't understand
it. And the Grosbeck family, I think they are cognizant of the perception of the Henrys, where they will not allow, right, obviously, them to buy the Boston Celtics.
I would think so.
Because you don't want to, like, even though you take whatever money you could get, you could get money from people that have actually good intentions. But you look back at that deal.
Oh.
It was a three-team trade. Like, who cares what the Twins got? But the Red Sox got Alex Verdugo, Jeter Downs, and Connor Wong. The Dodgers, they got Betts, David Price, Gatterall, right, who's still on the team, and Luke Raley, and a 2020 competitive round B draft pick, whatever that means. But look at the return for the Red Sox. Connor Wong, who I think had like batted 280 this year with 13 homers, something like that, I looked up. Jeter Downs and Alex Verdugo, who's not even on your team anymore. And Verdugo was the big piece that you were getting back. You know, you could trade away an all-time great player and you get something back in return that's like pretty damn good for it. It's like, look at what happened to the Nationals. You know, they knew that they weren't going to be able to keep Juan Soto, and they at least got some pieces back. You have some tangible pieces. The Red Sox have nothing. Nothing from that deal. That could really, really significantly help the franchise. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. I don't even know how to refer to this guy anymore. Because every time he calls, he's got a different name. So let's go to our favorite masshole. And that, of course, you know, I'll just call him how I know him. Sully. What's up, Sully?
Buddy, you touched on such a nerve. First of all, happy Halloween.
You too? You dressing up? You going as Piero's veal parm? Is that what you're going as?
No, Piero's. Technically, we're driving right now to California for one of my best friend's weddings. So.
Oh, well, as they would say in my religion, mazel tov, Sully.
Ah, thank you. I'll tell them. My tattoo artist.
So, it's your tattoo artist?
Yes.
Oh, are you getting a tattoo for the wedding?
I'm on tattoo probation. We've had this conversation before, remember?
Oh, you're on tattoo probation?
Yeah.
The missus doesn't want any more tattoos? Is that what it is?
I have to get approval for tattoos and sneakers. No more. I have to get approval.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that was sneakers, too.
Oh, yeah.
Now, hold on.
Keep me in line.
I feel like the sneaker part is tougher for you than the tattoo part.
No, they're equally as challenging.
Hmm. Okay. So the tattoo of my face and Perloff isn't going to be making it onto your thigh, right?
I have to get, whoa, that's aggressive. I have to get approved. I'm sure people are loving, I'm sure people love hearing this conversation.
Yeah. All righty.
Zach.
So, yeah, go ahead.
I quit on the Red Sox the moment they traded Mookie Betts.
You're no longer a fan?
No. Hmm. I'll watch them every now and then. Like, I'll go to a game when I'm back in Boston. But no. And I was excited that the Dodgers got to win because it's Dave Roberts and Mookie Betts. Two people that brought me a lot of joy in my sports life.
So but, that is, and I think that's an accurate feeling. Like, hey, the Red Sox are always going to be the Red Sox, right? The building's always going to be packed. No,
it's not always packed.
Yeah, you actually, you're right on that.
The fans are tired. And I don't understand when they went from the great guys to the heel. It's like a wrestling analogy. They went from the good guy to a heel with John Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm done. I'm done listening. Oh, this year we're going to be different. No, they're not. They're going to do the same thing. I love Alex Cora. That 2018 team brought me a lot of joy. But I'm done. I'm done with that. Mookie Betts to come up through the organization, to change positions because as a second baseman, they had Dustin Pedroia. He learns the outfield. He becomes one of the best all-time to play the position. You mentioned five-tool player. I love seeing how much joy he gets in winning another championship. Because it sticks it to the owners of the Red Sox, who can't even make the postseason, and they're not even close.
I think
next year will be different. I don't think next year will be different, Zach.
Yeah, and I do think you accurately portray a huge sentiment in the Boston Red Sox fan base, where we all know how beloved the Red Sox were and how all Boston wanted was that team to win a World Series. And then after you not only got one, you ended up getting four in that crazy stretch, and how fun the Red Sox were and how much that team also meant to the city after obviously the Boston bombing. And then obviously you had the 0-4 team, right, as they called themselves the Idiots and sticking it to the Yankees down 3-0 and coming on back. It was such a fun team. And this is why I think the fan base despises the ownership group. It's not that the product and like how they're not winning anymore. It's that they did it to themselves, and you have a really proudful group of fans that love this team, and the ownership group had great things, and it's like they just got spit on by the ownership group. It's like one thing like, hey, pound for pound, if a team's better than you, you could respect it, but it was really sabotage what the Red Sox ownership group did, and that's why it annoys Boston Red Sox fans, I'd imagine.
And then they let Bogarts go. They got Trevor Story, and he hasn't been able to be healthy like they had, you mentioned. Bogarts, Betts, and Devers. They had a pillar for the next generation, and the only one they kept was Devers because I think that would have completely caused a mutiny with that fan base if they didn't keep Devers. But I loved it. I love watching Mookie Betts, and I love that my friends in L.A. get to experience how great of a player Mookie Betts is all around. It just, you know, it is what it is. I'm very grateful for the joy that they brought me, but you know what? No thank you to the Red Sox. Go Doyers.
All righty. Last thing I'll ask you, Sully. So maybe I was aggressive with the thigh, but Gelb and Perloff on the calf. Can we get approval for that for a tattoo?
I got a thumbs down from the fabulous Poopy.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? I'll disagree with you. I'm not going to disagree with her because she's your boss. She's my boss too, right?
I love you very much. She's everybody's boss.
You got it, Sully. All right. Safe travels to you and your bride and have fun at the wedding for your tattoo artist, which you're not allowed to get a tattoo anymore, unless if the missus says so. Huh? That's what happens when you get married. You got to listen to everything the missus says, because you don't have a happy life if you don't got a happy wife. All righty, Zach Gelb, Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. Ryan Konigsberg is going to join us next, the host of DNVR Bus Podcast. It's going to be a prime time spot. We'll be talking Coach Prime, Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, and oh, so much more with this Colorado football team, as it's been a pleasant surprise and a wonderful story.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm very impressed with Colorado football because the Buffaloes are already bowl eligible. And it's Halloween and they got bowl eligibility last week with their victory over Cincinnati. So Coach Prime, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, they're rolling right now. So we will head out to Denver and we will talk to Ryan Konigsberg, who does a great job, host of the DNVR Buffs podcast. And he's kind enough to join us right now. I am wearing a Scooby-Dooby-Doo costume right now, Ryan. So I think this is the first time that you've done a Colorado interview while getting interviewed by Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, usually when people are talking about Colorado, they're wearing clown costumes.
Well, I'll tell you this, Jay Norvell probably, I don't have sunglasses on, but he probably wouldn't be happy with my attire with two grown men having a conversation about Colorado.
That is very true.
So let me just first discuss what happened last week. For them to already get to six wins and to just see the growth of this program over the last 2 years, how do you kind of put it into words what Dion, Coach Prime's been able to do the last 2 years with Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, to understand it whatsoever, you have to understand where this team came from. And like, I think you can hear the record 1-11 and hear, okay, they were really bad. But you had to see those games, and you have to understand that they lost those games by an average of over 29 points per game. They had seven games in that season that they lost by more than 30 points. They were not just bad. As far as I'm concerned, they're one of the worst teams in college football history at the Power Five level. And, you know, like, I posted about this earlier this week, but like people who had had season tickets for decades and decades were canceling. You know, there was, it was bad, man. It was as bad as you can imagine it being for a fan base. And, you know, I posted at the time, like, this next hire is the most important hire in program history. They have to figure out a way to get back to relevancy during this time in college football where so much is changing and relevancy is so valuable considering all of the conference realignment and how this thing is eventually going to end up. And for Coach Prime to come in, flip that team from one win to four wins last year, which I think was frowned upon from everywhere outside of Boulder, but inside Boulder it was like, okay, like this is much better. They're, you know, most of their losses were one score games. And then to go into this year, fill kind of a lot of the gaps on the offensive and defensive lines and put together like what is a real football team. You know, Travis and Shador, rightfully so, get so many headlines, but this is a team that goes down the line and has players at every position. And, you know, Travis Hunter is injured against Arizona and barely plays the first half, doesn't play the second half. They're matched up against Tetero and McMillan, one of the best wide receivers in the country. And they bring in a guy who was only playing in dime packages in Colton Hood. And he goes out there and locks up Tetero and McMillan. He has like five catches in the game. So this is, they have depth, they have skill, they have, you know, line play. It's remarkable for them to be at this position after where they were 2 years ago.
So you touched on it. Last year, they get off to that 3-0 start, and the expectations, I thought, got too big because going into the year last year, I thought they were only going to win four games, and they ended up doing that. But when you start off 3-0 and only win one game down the stretch, it is disappointing, even though those games were close. But going into this year with the changes, the way that they altered the roster and also, right, the entire coaching staff had their feet wet with being there for an entire year. What were you expecting with this team before the season started?
Yeah, I mean, I was higher on them than most. And there's still a chance that I end up being too low on them. I had them winning 9 games this year. And, you know, I thought, seeing what they did in the trenches, being able to protect the quarterback like they have, which is much better than they did last year, adding LaJonte Wester at wide receiver, Will Shepard at wide receiver, and then, you know, at the time, hopefully a full year of Travis Hunter, which people forget, you know, he missed 3 sure. games last year and then wasn't himself in the fourth when he came back. So I obviously had really high hopes for them, and there's a decent chance. I think they started out as underdogs against Texas Tech, but I wouldn't be surprised if that gets close to even, and then they'll probably be favored in the last 3 games after that. So they have a chance to win 10 and make some real noise here at the end of the season.
Yeah, and those final 3 games, you know, after the Texas Tech game, Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State, and Kansas and Oklahoma State haven't lived up to the hype that we thought was going to happen before the year. Ryan Konigsberg here with us. You know, the Big 12's been fun. I don't know how many great teams there are, but there are a bunch of good teams. And it's wide open right now. You look at the college football playoff, there's obviously 12 teams now. I could only guarantee one Big 12 team gets in, but how likely do you think it is that maybe you see two Big 12 teams get into the college football playoff?
I think there's a decent chance. I really do. You know, right now you have 2 undefeated teams in the Big 12. And so that alone carries some weight. Obviously, from a Colorado perspective, you hope that doesn't hold up because you want, you know, to see the team get a chance to play for a Big 12 championship. But I do wonder, and it's funny because I brought this up about Kansas State last year, and I think Coach Prime actually brought it up too. But I was like, if Coach Prime was Kansas State's coach, they wouldn't have been left out of the playoff because of the attention and the ratings and all the stuff that he drives. And I wonder if Colorado can finish this thing out on a, you know, what would be a 6-game winning streak, play some really good football down the stretch, if the committee won't be very, very tempted to give them one of those last couple seats.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting conversation. Ryan Konigsberg here with us. When we get to the Heisman Trophy conversation, like, I'm a Heisman Trophy voter. I'll be stunned, obviously, obvious statement here, if Travis Hunter isn't a finalist. It feels like right now it's Jenty against Hunter. That's been the big debate, and you know there's going to be a quarterback. Right, it's been Ward, it's been Dylan Gabriel, but there's been a push as of late. You even heard Coach Prime talk about it for Shador Sanders, who's been unbelievable, and I think Shador is going to either be the first or second quarterback taken in this upcoming NFL draft. But how likely do you think it is that we'll see not only Travis being a Heisman Trophy finalist, but having his teammate Shador Sanders join him in New York City in a few weeks?
Yeah, I've been pushing that campaign hard. I think that what Shador has been doing has been a little bit overshadowed by Travis. And, you know, Shador has been really cool about it, basically just, you know, every week tweeting Travis Hunter for Heisman, Travis Hunter for Heisman. But I think he absolutely belongs in that conversation. And you got to watch the games. Like this last week, Shador had the flu. I mean, he literally had his flu game this last week and, you know, completes over 80% of his passes. Started the game, I think, 15 for 15. He is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most precise passers I've ever seen in college football. And, you know, he's tough. He brings that leadership. I think that if they had just found a way to win that Kansas State game and were undefeated in conference play now, he would be getting a lot more hype. But, you know, it's crazy the difference between the people who know and have watched him and what they think of him, and then the people who just want to, you know, want to hate on him. But that dude is really, really special. And as great as Travis is, and I think Travis should win the Heisman Trophy, it absolutely has to be acknowledged that Shador is who carries this team. And, you know, without him, I don't know where they would be, but it would not be where they are now.
So since you cover this story on a daily basis, for people that are doubting Shador Sanders, what would you say to them? Who is the Shador Sanders that you know?
First and foremost, a person who lives and breathes the game. He doesn't go out and party. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He just is about football 24/7. And you know, Coach Prime will tell you that of all of the kids, he spent the most time around him as a child. He's kind of the most like him. And when it comes to that, like, drive for football, that absolute passion for the game, he's second to none. And that goes into his preparation. I've never been around a college quarterback who prepares the way that he does, truly preparing, you know, the way that professional quarterbacks are preparing on a weekly basis. He obviously has had the chance to be around some of the great ones, and he approaches it every week that way. And it's just rare for a guy to watch film and understand it. And that translates to his game on the field, which is, first and foremost, I think his ability to process and his ability to understand what he's looking at on the other side is why he's able to start a game with 15 consecutive completions, because he knows what you're doing before you do it. Again, kind of a rare trait for college quarterbacks. Then, you know, he's so precise with the football. I was thinking about this, you know, just this morning. Like, you never see Travis Hunter really make a crazy catch on offense. And it's because Shador always puts the ball in the right spot. And that goes for all these wide receivers. So it's that preparation, it's his precision, and then, you know, all the intangibles. People want to say he's not a leader. You know, watch the videos of the sidelines. He's rallying those guys every single time, getting them around him, telling them what to do, what they're going to do. The toughness, all of it, man. It's to me, he's the best quarterback that I've seen in college. I've obviously spent my whole life around Colorado, but there's been some good quarterbacks come through here. And he's truly, truly special. I think he should absolutely be the number one quarterback taken in the draft.
Wrap it up with Ryan Konigsberg. I just want to get your thoughts on two more things. Number one, right, when you bring in all this new talent and right, how much they had to overcome in really quickly rebuilding this program, you know, it takes time to gel. You know, North Dakota State wasn't a pretty performance this year. They still won. Obviously, you know, the first half against Nebraska was miserable for a Colorado football fan. What did you see really change with this team from where they were after the Nebraska game to where we see them in present day already being bowl eligible?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it starts going back to the offseason. And Coach Prime put a massive emphasis on team chemistry and team bonding. He made a rule that you can't have your phones at the lunch table, you know, during the week. You know, they did like chemistry retreats up in the mountains, you know, just getting this team to grow closer together. And I think that's the biggest difference from last year. Last year, they had a heartbreaking loss against Stanford that would have given them their fifth win. And I think really the loss when they blew a huge lead derailed the rest of the season. And that kind of pulled them apart. And you started seeing guys point fingers or wonder, why is he getting more playing time than me? You know, stuff that happens in college football. This year's team, after that Nebraska loss, got closer together. And I think that's the biggest difference between, you know, good teams and bad teams, is adversity can pull you apart or it could bring you together. And this this team absolutely just, you know, hunkered down and said, hey, we got Colorado State. Like, there's no time to, like, sulk or point fingers or anything. We have another rivalry game coming up. And they went out there and obviously, you know, smacked Colorado State around and just built off of that momentum. And, man, if they were just able to hold that lead late in that Kansas State game, yeah, you know, we could be talking about something really special happening right now.
All right, I'll end you on this. Ryan Koenigsberg is here with us. Does a great job, hosts the DMVR Bus podcast. If you want to, like, hear things and watch things about Colorado football, he is the place to go to. Make sure you check him out on all of his socials. When it comes to Coach Prime's future, I'm not even bringing up the NFL. I don't think he's going to the NFL. But I was someone, when he's at Jackson State, that was like, he should be able to go to the SEC right away. We know Travis Hunter's going to be leaving. We know Shedeur Sanders is going to be leaving. For people that obviously are Colorado fans, they have that fear. How much longer is Coach Prime going to be here? Just what's your feel on that when another school could come calling and maybe take him away from what's going on in Colorado right now, which is so special?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously never know exactly what's going to happen, but I'll say this. Coach Prime is really, really happy in Colorado. Colorado has completely embraced him. He's embraced the state. He, you know, never stops talking about how much he loves it here. And on top of that, the way that they are recruiting freshmen and beyond for next season, I think is a great sign for Colorado fans that it's not this, that he's not viewing this as a short-term thing. You know, even Travis Hunter was asked by RG3 recently, like, would you like Coach Prime to be your coach in the NFL? And he just said, nah, he's home. This is home for him now. And so I don't know how long Coach Prime envisions himself coaching at the college level, but I would put a pretty good number on it that as long as he's coaching at the college level, it will be at Colorado. Maybe he determines after a couple years away from his kids when they're, you know, balling out in the NFL that, hey, I want to just, you know, be able to go travel around and watch Shedeur play or watch Travis or Shiloh play. But I think if he's going to be coaching in college football, it's going to be at Colorado.
Like, what is, I heard what you just said, but number wise, like him being back next year, is it like as high as 95%? You're going 100%? Like, what's the number?
Yeah, I would put it over 90%. I think it was something would have to change, something drastic would have to happen for him to not be coaching at Colorado this year, next year.
He is Ryan Koenigsberg. Does a great job once again, host of DMVR Bus Podcast. Appreciate you jumping on board. Thanks so much for doing this.
Appreciate you. Have a good one, man.
You got it. There he is, Ryan Koenigsberg, joining us. Really good insight on the Colorado football team out there in Boulder, Colorado. We will come on back. It is a Paper Shredder Thursday. We'll see which teams we will eliminate from the NFL postseason hunt. But first up, with the latest sports flash, here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All righty. Happy Halloween, everybody. It is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. I do have my Paper Shredder back with us. We will shred some teams' playoff chances coming up in just a bit. I'm going to hope that my paper shredding abilities have gotten a little bit better, because last week, that was a really dangerous situation. It was just not good with the paper shredder. So the paper shredder is back. We will have to return it quickly to our boss's office in Chris Olivero, because if he's shredding some papers today, he may be like, where the heck is that paper shredder? You know, they do a company email blast at the end of the week where they highlight things that have gone on in the company. And they do with all their stations like 1010 Wins, WFAM, the Infinity Sports Network. We make the company highlight like every week because we have big conversations that get picked up and interviews that go viral. You know, we have passionate opinions, things like that. But you know what they used last week? They used me taking Chris Olivero's paper shredder and they posted our segment and a link to click on it on like the video that we put out from the Paper Shredder Thursday. So how about that? This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. You know, I should have done this before I got on the air. We shredded six teams last week. We have this on a Google Doc, right, Stu? If you could just pull that up real quickly, because I think I'm logged into the wrong email. So this is my bad. I should have done this a little bit quicker. Let me know when you have the six teams that I shredded last week. I think I remember a few of them. Do we have that list right there? We do? Okay. What are the six teams there, Mr. Ted Lasso? What do we got cooking?
All right. We got Patriots. We got Browns. We got Giants.
Patriots, Browns, Giants.
Jaguars, Titans, and Panthers.
Jaguars, Titans, and Panthers.
Those are the six.
All right. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that have been thrown in front of me today. We will see how many we will shred and how many teams who playoff chances, even though they're not mathematically eliminated yet, that we will be saying there is no chance that they make the NFL playoffs this year. Music, please. All righty. The LA Rams. This time last week, there was a thought on this show when we had Puka Nacua on that Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford could potentially be traded. The Rams won a football game this week. They are now 3-4, and I think they're starting to see an uptick in their season. So the LA Rams were on life support. Now there's a pulse. Now they're kicking. And they not only could be out of sports hospice soon, they could potentially make the playoffs this year. So I will not be shredding the LA Rams. Alrighty. Our next team. Who dat? Who dat? Who dat say they're going to beat them Saints? Well, everybody. The Saints stink. The Chargers didn't even play all that well last week, and they still embarrassed the New Orleans Saints. This team is cooked. This team, they had optimism heading into last year, and everyone was like, oh, Derek Carr and the Saints are going to win the South. And I'm like, if Derek Carr's ever expected to win a division, that's when I say I expect him to not win a division. Okay? So my expectations are very slim going into the season, but it's clear that the Saints will not be making the postseason. Now, I'm in a low chair, and this paper shredder is like the only thing that makes me feel small. It's very intimidating. It's like when I stand next to Samter and Stu, quite frankly. So I will reach up. Let's see if we could shred this sucker. All righty. And away we go. The Saints are in the paper shredder. Next team. The Miami Dolphins. They got back their quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, and the Miami Dolphins lost the game that they should have won up against the Cardinals. There's not a lot of room for optimism. I should be shredding the Miami Dolphins. Let's see if they're going to go in the paper shredder this week. I think I'm going to save them. I don't believe in this team, but I want to give Tua one more opportunity, one more chance, because if this team could get some confidence, they have so much offensive firepower that they could go string together some games, and the AFC is still pretty open, you know, in terms of making the playoffs. So I feel like the Dolphins should be shredding, but the Miami Dolphins on Halloween, I don't want to shred you. So I'll put you to a side for another week. This team's still here? Raiders! Raiders! They stink. Stu, any last words for your team before I throw them in the paper shredder?
Shred them.
Shred them? You know what, Stu? Come on into the studio. I'm not going to shred the Las Vegas Raiders. I like Max Crosby, but this team stinks. This team is horrible. And this team needs to be shredded. We're going to have Stu, Ted Lasso, let out a lot of frustration right now. Hold on. Get in the camera. You got to duck down, Stu. All righty. Take cover. Take cover. He's shredding the Raiders. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Ted Lasso. Out of all the dramatic things I've ever seen, John, Ted Lasso has just shredded the Las Vegas Raiders. Oh, my gosh. Alrighty, I am going to MetLife Stadium in the swamps of Jersey. I wonder, after shredding the Jets, if my press credential is going to get revoked. I wonder if after the game, if I ask Aaron Rodgers a question, he looks at me and he goes, "You just shredded the football team on your radio show? That's not very zen of you. You need to go into a cave. You need to smoke or take some ayahuasca. You need to be one and fight the darkness." Whenever you have a quarterback lose to the Patriots, when the Patriots are not Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, the Pats right now, they can't block, they can't catch, and they were playing with the backup quarterback, and they beat you bums. And the Jets have lost five straight. This football team's 2-6. The line's fugazi tonight. I don't understand how Vegas has the Jets as a favorite. So it makes me think the Jets could win tonight, but I think the Texans should win this game even with all their injuries. So I feel like they know everyone's going to be betting on the Texans. So let's make the line so funky where some of the money actually goes on the Jets and it saves Vegas a little bit. Either way, I don't give a rat's ass if the Jets win tonight or not. Their season is over. They're not making the playoffs. And we are going to shred the J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. And finally, the Dallas Cowboys. The drama. Dallas. Choking. Cowboys. They were okay to start off that game up against the 49ers. And then they allowed 24 unanswered points. But as they were about to get shredded, they started to make a comeback. And then with the game on the line, yikes. Dak Prescott should have thrown a pick on that first attempt. Now, they ended up doing nothing. But you know what? We would not be a proper national radio show, even though I predicted before the year that the Cowboys wouldn't make the playoffs, if we would eliminate the Cowboys from this conversation and from this bit. So, with that being said, just because they are the Dallas Cowboys and every national radio program, stereotypical of every national radio program, we have to talk about the Cowboys, the Cowboys, the Cowboys, the Cowboys. We will let the Cowboys live to see another day. So, we have shredded three teams today. We have said goodbye to the Saints. We have said goodbye to the Jets. And we have said goodbye to the Las Vegas Raiders. Stu, was that therapeutic for you? When we said goodbye to the Raiders?
It really was. It was a little therapeutic.
Okay. Do you want me to print out a Yankees logo? Just wondering.
Too soon.
Too soon? I apologize. I apologize. That wasn't nice. You know, you don't want to be like Gerrit Cole. Instead of running to first base, we'll just throw him right in the paper shredder.
Yeah, I would have been running to like the garbage can instead of the paper shredder if I was Cole.
Yeah. I told Samter, by the way, I saw the Raiders logo was printed out today and I go, I'm going to have Stu shred it. Samter and I were in on that. I'm like, just to see Stu running in here, you know, it's either going to be like a slow run where it's like, ugh, I don't want to actually shred the logo of my team. Or it's, no, I have a lot of pent-up frustration. We got to throw that baby in the paper shredder. So good stuff right there. Alrighty, that will do it for hour number two of our radio program. We still got one more hour to go. And when we come on back, we got a whole lot more to talk about in the football world. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets play football tonight. Aaron Rodgers turns 41 in a month. Is this going to be the final 2 months of the illustrious but confusing career of Aaron Rodgers? We discuss next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.